This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, like I was saying, I've just returned from Central Asia. We had the privilege of training 40 church planters from four Central Asian countries: Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Azerbaijan. And the blessing was I was with three of our graduates, and they are really living the theme of our series this year, which we end today, and that's lessons from David, leadership lessons from David. How do we better serve the purpose of God in this generation? And here's what we've covered thus far. At the beginning of the school year, we looked at David and Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. We said qualifications for spiritual leadership are more on the inside than they are on the outside. Then we went to chapter 17, David and Goliath, and we saw that problems are a preparation for the future, not just a frustration in the moment, in the present. Then David and Saul, the next chapter, we said, you know, when you step in the position of the leader, you get attacked. But what's interesting, the attacks don't always come from the enemy. Sometimes they come from teammates. And we just have to understand why that happens and how that happens. Then this semester began with David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Disobedience has long-term consequences, not just short-term regrets. And we talked about drawing those lines of defenses, not just mentally and physically, but emotionally, not giving our hearts away too quickly. Then last time we spent two sessions on David and his mighty men, and we said you can defeat a Goliath by yourself, but to defeat an entire army takes teammates, not just individual effort. And today we come to David and Solomon, and we're going to go from 1 and 2 Samuel all the way to 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29, and we're talking about planning. Planning must be in view of the next generation, not just our current situation. We must plan in view of the next generation, not just in light of our current situation. Now, what do I mean by that? How many of you in here like walnuts? Raise your hands. Anybody like walnuts? Okay, this is a picture of a walnut tree. Now, I just learned this. Do you know that if you planted a walnut tree today, regardless of how old you are, even our little one in the back, you would not live long enough to eat walnuts from the tree you planted? It takes that long for a walnut tree to bear fruit. Whoever planted that walnut tree that produced the nuts that you eat did so with future generations in mind, with you in mind. So to be an effective leader, we must plan in view of the next generation, not just our current situation. Now, you may be thinking this, well, hey, what does this talk have to do with me? I am really young. You know, I'm 18, I'm 19, I've just turned 20 years old. I have a long time. I have several decades before I need to be thinking in terms of planning for the next generation. Well, I want you to not think in terms of your age in life. I want you to think in terms of your stage in life, not your age of life, but your stage in life. For example, when I was a college student, that's when I invited Jesus Christ to come live in my heart, and I immediately got involved in ministry. And I was serving with Youth for Christ, which is like Young Life, and we were at Cedar Grove High School. We started the ministry. We won dozens and dozens and dozens of students to Christ. It became one of the largest ministries there in Atlanta. It was so exciting, but I only had a couple years before I knew I was graduating from college, and then I'd be leaving. So one of the workers there, I started pouring my life into him. So when I left, he took responsibility for leading that ministry. And the next year after I graduated, he continued to lead the ministry and continued to make a huge impact for the Lord Jesus. So don't think the age of your life, think your stage of your life. Whatever ministry you're in, you need to be planning who's going to take your place. Now, Let's see how David illustrates his truth for planning for the next generation, not just his current situation. So if you have your Bibles, scroll or turn to 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29. There's a lot of verses, so I'm going to summarize all but two of the verses. So if you have your pen, you want to jot these in your margin. You may make a note in your iPads. I'm not sure your phone can do it. But look at 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29. David, in these chapters, he planned in detail for the construction of the coming temple. Let's look at how he did this. Look at verses 11 through 19. In these verses, these nine verses, he designs the blueprint for the temple. In verses 20 through 21, this is chapter 28, he organized the workers, the priests, and the Levites. In chapter 29, the first nine verses, he raises the money. And then verses 10 through 20, he covers it with prayer. Now, by the way, you might want to write in the margin there, that is a great prayer that he prays. So please go back and read that prayer tonight or in the morning. It's a great prayer. Now, there are many parallels of these verses to CIU. Just look what I've put here. He designed the blueprint. We've been working on lots of the buildings on campus. We've remodeled or completely, it's either a new building or remodeled building all over campus except for three buildings, three and a half. Fisher, that's number one on my list. Rossi, that's number one on your list. And the chapel, that's number three. And then we have half the administration done. Half was done about 10 years ago. Organizing the workers, priests, and Levites, that's the CIU staff. Raising the money, that's the endowment. And praise God for what he's been doing. In the last 2 years, it's grown from $14.5 million to $36 million. That's going to help us for years and years and years to come in terms of helping with financing your education. And then during our prayer days, three times a semester, we cover the place in prayer. But not only did David plan in detail for the construction of the temple, he also prepared Solomon to be the next generation of leadership. So these are the two verses I want us to focus on. Look at chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, please. Chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. Underline these verbs, know God, serve God. Well, how do you do that with a whole heart and a willing mind? For the Lord searches all hearts and he understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you, he's the next leader, to build a house for the sanctuary. I love these last little phrase here. Be courageous and act. Leaders must be courageous and act. I think this last accomplishment, preparing Solomon to be the next generation of leadership, is one of the most important responsibilities any leader has. So how does that relate to CIU? The faculty. If the faculty strays, CIU strays. And I think you would agree with me, God has given us an outstanding faculty. Faculty, I don't recognize you enough. Would you stand up and let us recognize you one more time? We're coming to the close of a year. Up in the balcony. So regardless of our ministry role, as part of our planning, we must be concerned with the next generation of leadership. Who will take our place? Why is this so important? Because without successors, there is no success. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the burden, the pain in my heart if I retire, and 5 years later, CIU is no longer teaching the Bible, is no longer challenging the student body to be filled with God's Holy Spirit and to walk in a manner that pleases Him in all respects. If we lost our vision and heart for the world, that if we just trained people how to make an income and not how to make an impact. So how do we go about developing the next generation? 28 years ago this August, Debbie and I, my sweetheart and I, had the privilege of starting a little mission agency in our basement when we lived in Atlanta. 3 years later, we moved here to CIU. And the name is Crossover. It's Crossover Communications International. We call it CCI or Crossover. And what we're seeking to do is provide gospel access through church planting to the unreached people groups of the world. Now, for 25 years, I was the president. When the Lord called me to be president here, I immediately began looking for a successor who would take my place. And God provided someone, and He provided the best. His name is Ken Katayama. Here's his picture, but he's here today, and I'm asking him to join me up here on stage. Would you welcome with me Ken Katayama? Ken's a graduate of CIU, and, well, Ken, tell us about yourself.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Brazilian. I was born in Brazil, moved to the United States in 2005, so I'm making Columbia, South Carolina my home in the last 10 years.
So are you a Brazilian or not?
I am Brazilian and an American now.
An American.
Yeah, and I'm a Japanese descendant from Brazil, and I'm married to an American, and we have two children, and we live here in Lexington, South Carolina.
And you serve on a lot of boards. Tell us about some of the boards on which you serve.
I serve on the board of Comina, which is a Hispanic network here in North America. And I also have a privilege to serve on the board of Mission Nexus, which is the network of mission agencies and leadership of pastors in churches here in North America, too.
And you just came back from Central Asia.
That's right.
And you serve on several networks there. Tell us about those.
That's right. There's a network of, it's a more a conference called Central Asia Consultation that takes place every year in Turkey. And there's a group of Americans who have served in Central Asia and still involved in different ways. And we put together what they call the North America Central Asian Forum. And I have the privilege to help to coordinate that.
And speaking at it?
That's right, last year.
Very good. All right, so you're president of Crossover. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Crossover.
Well, I have a couple of slides of Crossover there. So as Dr. Jones was saying, we're providing gospel access to unreached people groups. The way we say a crossover is that, the next slide, it says the spiritual needs are everywhere. You know, you can think right now of someone in your family tree that needs Jesus. But access to the gospel, access to the message of saving knowledge in Jesus Christ is not. So we're providing gospel access. And how do we do that? It's through church planting. The next slide, Jesus promised that He's building His church. So there is nothing better in our understanding to partner with Him, with Jesus, to see His church being established among people who have not yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do we evaluate that? We have what we call Vision 2020 is the next slide. We want to honor God and say, Lord, would you use us as an organization to plant 2,000 churches among unreached people groups in the world? And thus far, we have seen 311 churches planted, and we have a couple years to go. And this trip to Central Asia was a huge part of this vision and enable those who already have the gospel, say it's the reached, the unreached. So many Central Asians who have a relationship with Christ are becoming church planters. So we're together, Americans, Brazilians, and Central Asians, and Middle Easterns. We're all striving to glorify God and provide gospel access by planting, multiplying churches.
Speak about the Brazilians, about...
Well, our base in Brazil, in which I served for 6 years, today is actually one of the largest sending Brazilian agency in Brazil. So as you think about the numbers, comparing is not even close to the North American context. For Brazilians, though, it's huge. You know, you might be thinking, Lord, prepare me to go to Brazil because I want to serve the Brazilian church, which is okay. We're in Brazil saying, Lord, there are so many Brazilians here. We need to send them somewhere. There are no churches. So we have, I think as, oh, you got me now.
50
Brazilians, and specifically among the Muslim world right now, they're getting, doing through the process, the cross-cultural work and the pioneer work to see churches being planted.
Well, you mentioned Muslims, and there's 311 churches. How many of those churches were planted among Muslims?
It was 126 churches planted among Muslims.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Well, how did you come to be part of Crossover?
It's a long story. No, it's a funny story,
it's all
actually.
Right. We're going to leave here at 11:45, though.
Okay.
So.
I'm a Japanese, and in 97, I went to a conference called Transformation. And that was when I met Eve for the very first time. It was the very first Crossover Brazil mobilization conference. Oh, there you go. Oh, you stole that. That's good. Very good. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is embarrassing for
I'm
me, not
old.
For you. No, for
I'm
me.
So,
I think that's 1998, maybe.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm saying, God, would you help me to serve among the Japanese people? And I tried everything to get my visa and didn't work. And so I had to do an internship for my Bible school in Brazil. And so I'm going to my internship.
I'm sorry, we're having a little argument right now, so go ahead. We're not trying to distract.
I had to. I mean, I could not graduate unless I had 5 weeks of internship. And my visa to Japan didn't work. So now I'm thinking, I'm not graduating. So I remember the conference, that's 98. I started a 5 weeks internship at Crossover Brazil, and I never left.
It's a long 5 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very long.
Well, now, tell us, there are not many years mm-hmm. between you and the vast majority of the student body. Mm-hmm. You're very close to the same generation. This series is on leadership lessons from the life of David, serving the purpose of God in your generation. And we've been focusing on their generation. So you've stepped into this leadership role. You've been prepared. How well? That's a question.
Okay.
What has been done to prepare you that you think would be good to help prepare them? And then my follow-up question is, what could have been done better?
Okay. There are three main things that comes to mind as that we have done that were done well to me. The first one was the leadership, not only Dr. Jones, but the base in Brazil and other leaders within Crossover, they led by example. I think the principle of the idea of leading by example, because it's so general and like, okay, everybody led by example, is this. I believe that they were never delegate something to me that they were not willing to do themselves. They never delegated something to me that they were not willing to do themselves. And I could see that because sometimes in Brazil, my very first job as intern was to go get the mail and clean the office. And I knew that the leader in Brazil was cleaning the office before I got there. So there were experiences like that. The second, they hold me with a high accountability. And I know that accountability is not very popular I'm probably Gen X, a lot of you millennials, we don't like the word controlling and accountability. There's definitely the controlling type of idea, but we're foolish if we don't work under someone that doesn't hold us accountable. And I think that was huge because that creates character. They helped me to understand authority in my life. They helped me to suffer, sometimes to grow. And it was.
And this is the good part, right?
Yeah, it is the good part,
Suffering.
And then I think the last thing was they consistently gave me opportunities to fail. And that was huge, knowing that I could make a mistake as I was growing, developing myself. And I feel that way to this day sometimes, but they were very good in follow-up and feedback. They were good in the accountability. It was good to say, here's the truth, but I'm going to tell you in grace. And there were a lot of hard truth, but it was good. It was an opportunity that I had to try something that I thought was interesting, that was good, that was edgy. It was my generation, and I made a mistake, and they were graceful enough to tell me the truth.
Can you think of some of these mistakes in some of the lessons you've mentioned?
Yeah, I do. I think one of the things that I did for many years were coordinating trips. And I coordinate a lot of trips. And when I'm thinking trips, is overseas trip. We're talking about 50 people coming from different countries, and I'm in charge of getting everybody in the country and have a hotel ready to go. And so, you know, there are so many people that didn't have room, or we went to tour on Monday when everything's closed. You know, so I have a group of donors and people excited about seeing a historical site, but it's closed because it's Monday, you know, and it's like, well, I didn't know that. So, you know, things like that.
Okay. What could have been done better to prepare you?
I believe that the very first time when I was in a board meeting, so, you know, I was
so you growing, now report to the board.
Right, I was growing to reporting to the board, and I wasn't sure what to expect of that meeting. You know, I knew who they were. I knew they were the board of trustees. I knew I had to dress better than I normally would, you know, things like that. But in the meeting, I wasn't sure. Did I raise my finger? You know, can I talk? Do I never talk? You know, how did that works? So it was probably some expectations, some learning there. But it was probably in that context of giving me opportunity to fail in the controlled environment. It would be okay for me to make a mistake in front of that board, and they'll understand you at that time as the president. Understood and communicate to the board. So,
so listening to you, this is what I'm taking away. Mm-hmm. If I want to be effective at preparing these wonderful students to make an impact for Christ's glory in their generation, the big takeaway for me is I need to give them the freedom to fail. Is that
in a controlled environment? Yes. I think so, but
so not blow up the school,
right? No, yeah. No, yes, but you take how do I say that in a humble way? That there were some tests before that perhaps gave a hint for you and for other leaders that I could be trusted with something
to the next level, and then give them a chance to fail there,
right?
If they're okay, go to the next level.
No question, not just. You know, just redo the whole thing and don't think about the consequences. Not in that way.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Let's thank
Thanks,
Ken
sir.
For coming
thank
today.
You.
Ken will be up front if you'd like to talk to him afterwards. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. One day here at CIU, we'll pass the baton, we'll pass the torch to another generation of leaders. I spent a lot of time thinking about this and praying about this a lot. When that day happens, we want to pass on these five items. I want CIU to continue to be focused on our historic mission, vision, and values. We won't drift at all. We'll be dead on it. We'll still be staffed with Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing faculty members and staff, the whole team, particularly the faculty members, because you interact with them the most. We'll be surrounded by updated buildings, even Rossi. And we'll have new furniture downstairs. We'll be endowed with the necessary resources that the future will demand. and will be filled with students committed to our 92-year-old motto, to know Christ and to make Him known. If that's going to happen, those of us that are leading now, we need to plan in view of the next generation, not just our current situation. So here's my application question to all of you that are every student sitting in here, the chapel this morning. Into whom are you pouring your life? Remember, don't think age of life, think stage in life. So if you're ministering at church, you're ministering with Young Life, or you're ministering downtown to some other group, who are you pouring yourself into that'll take your place? But especially while you're here, and this will go on when you long left here, but please be thinking now, who is pouring into you? Find a mentor. Grab hold of them. Don't let loose of them until you've gotten every single thing you can from them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the series on Leadership Lessons from David. Father, I pray that our student body will be just, Lord, like the three graduates I was with in Kyrgyzstan, Father, that this group will serve your purpose. And Lord, they'll labor for the evangelization of the nations. They'll work diligently to make the name of Jesus Christ famous. Lord, they'll seek to know you intimately and make you known passionately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.